Asia.
India's Hindu nationalists. Men in shorts. The election over, Narendra Modi may drop the Hindu right.
Political pundits have spent much of the past week debating exit polls released just after the final day of voting on May 12th. The polls pointed, more or less, to a single outcome. The Bharatiya Janata Party, or BJP, will wallop the incumbent party Congress and, led by Narendra Modi, will form the next government. Investors pushed the stock market to a record high. But details matter, such as whether Mr. Modi can rely on a narrow coalition or will need a broad one. Here, the pollsters cannot be relied upon. The official results are due on May 16th, after The Economist goes to press. A second debate concerned the clout of the Hindu right. Since he was a boy, Mr. Modi has been an activist member in the Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh, or RSS, formed in 1925 as a pro-Hindu social movement. It began with charitable aims, but always carried quasi-military overtones as men in brown shorts performed dawn calisthenics. These days, the RSS is rebranding itself as a more youthful, right-leaning nationalist organisation, with rugby and volleyball on offer as alternatives to physical jerks. Throughout the election campaign, the RSS supplied volunteers for the BJP. The organisation's sway within the party remains strong. Mr. Modi became party leader in 2013 when the RSS chose to back him. Observers see an effort to expand the RSS's majoritarian appeal with less talk of Hindu identity and more about national strength. Smooth-tongued spokesmen downplay a once-core assertion of the RSS, that to be Indian was to be Hindu. Yet Mr. Modi's rise brings questions about the role of the RSS and the wider Sangh Parivar, or family of Hindu nationalist outfits. Some have high expectations. About 2,000 volunteers turned out to help Mr. Modi in Varanasi alone. On May 12th, members of the RSS's student wing cheered Mr. Modi as one of us, claiming he would bring relief on issues dear to them and worrying to Muslims and secular types. These include calls for a temple to be built at the site of a demolished mosque in Ayodhya in Uttar Pradesh, for Muslim-majority Kashmir to lose its special status under the Indian constitution, and for the abolition of a separate marriage code for Muslims. Not for these people, discussions about economic policies. A senior RSS organiser in Varanasi talks of Mr. Modi restoring pride in what the nation lost in the last 1,000 years, in the sons of the nation, the Hindus who originally belonged to this country. Only once before, at the defeat of Indira Gandhi in 1977, has the RSS thrown itself so heavily into party politics. Just as it is helping Mr. Modi's cause, so he is helping the RSS, according to one of its spokesmen in Delhi. With more effective recruiting, especially online, 10,000 new members are said to be signing up each month, including at universities and among employees at the country's booming IT firms. If Mr. Modi becomes Prime Minister, members of the broad Sangh Parivar family say they expect a more forceful approach to Pakistan and China. School textbooks could be reworked to show history in the right way, as one puts it, for example by telling how Maratha kings triumphed over Muslim armies. Yet Mr. Modi's readiness for collaboration may prove passing. It is true that on May 10th he spent 2 hours with the RSS's leader, Mohan Bhagwat, reportedly to assess the national campaign and potential ruling coalitions. But with voting over, the BJP will not need its armies of street volunteers. And Hindu nationalists may recall how in Mr. Modi's early years of running the state of Gujarat, he mostly kept the RSS at arm's length, worried that a rival power might arise. Widening his appeal to all Indians may mean turning his back on the more divisive outfits to which he has been close.